Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, to our study today. We'll be going back into the ABCs of Christian Growth, the third study in the letter F. And it's study number 6B, actually, is what we've called it. And it's entitled Fear and Fear of the Lord and What the Bible Says About and Concerning Fear and Fear of the Lord. We've had about four different studies so far, previously to this one, and I welcome you today, and I hope that all is going well with you, and if not, then you just hang in there and be strong and courageous, because we have a God that's alive, and He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And I know that you discipline yourself and that you fight the enemy to be able to come around these studies and listen and study the Word of God. Not to me, but to study the Word of God. We study together. I'm studying. Now, the Bible even talks about how do you teach somebody without learning yourself. And that's true. One of the most, the best things about doing these recordings, and I know they're not all that exciting and make you feel all warm and fuzzy and all that sort of business. I would like to be able to entertain you sometimes, but the past 7 years of study have really kind of, the Lord has kind of put me on sort of a serious note, and I don't really understand things like that, because I used to be able to stand up and make people laugh, and when I go to entertain, or not entertain, but go to represent the ministry at churches and stuff like that, there's nothing wrong with a laugh. I like a good laugh. It kind of just puts everything in perspective sometimes. But to sit around and joke and laugh and hem-haw around and do this, that, and the other, I guess these studies aren't designed for that. These studies are designed for us to learn the Word of God and enjoy God's Word, not enjoy the same things, and you know, to stay away from. I don't really understand it, and I can't explain it to you, but they're trying to keep all the worldliness out of our studies, because there's plenty of that, and you can get that anywhere, even under Christian signs and Christian logos and things like that. You can get all kind of entertaining business like that, but we come together and we enjoy God's Word, and when we walk away from these studies, we walk away with God's Word in our minds and our hearts. We don't have to worry that we have tarnished or that we've corrupted God's Word in any way. We've stuck to the Word of God and found out what it says concerning the matters of the truth that we're studying. So, having said all that, I hope that you're having a wonderful day and that God's blessing you. I know the Lord's blessing you, but that things are going well with you. And that's my prayer for you and for your family and for your children and for a roof over your head and for your bills to be paid, and that you don't owe anybody, and that you just get away from that mess, man. Get out of owing people. Get out from under the world's thumb. And you don't have to be rich, or you don't have to be well off to be able to not owe anybody anything. You can live, when you trust the Lord, you can live without owing people. And you can do that. And I don't know what kind of situation you're in, and maybe there's sickness and things like. Some of these things come into our lives and cause us have to be indebted. But the scriptures, the idea and the rule of scripture is to owe no man anything. Owe no man anything, but if we have to, the Lord has spoken about that before, about debtors and things like that, you know, and stuff like that. And there, He said, the poor you have with you always. So sometimes we do have to be indebted to people, but the Lord doesn't want us to love that. And not like the world does it. Of course not. Man, one of the things the world just has been taught in the past 30 or 40 years of the last three or four generations is just go in debt like crazy. Go in debt like crazy and trust your credit card, man, and all that sort of business. And we know better than that, don't we? We know better than that. If we have a God that's powerful enough, the Lord told that man that was at war that had given a whole bunch of silver and gold. Can't think of his name. That's why I call him the man. But he gave somebody to come, another army, a whole bunch of money, a whole bunch of gold. I mean a bunch of gold to come and help him war. Well, God took care of the business. And he didn't have to go to war. And he asked the prophet and said, well, what about all the gold that I gave him? He said, God is able to give you much more than this. Forget it. Go home. The Lord took care of you. Forget it. And there's a lesson in that. There's a lesson in that. We're not to put our trust in riches and gold and silver and all that sort of business. We're to put our trust in the Lord. And when you do that, it don't matter if you're counting pennies or if you're counting your interest off of your savings or whatever it is, or your millions of dollars and this, that, and the other. It's all the same thing. Pennies don't make any more difference than hundreds and $1,000 bills. And I ain't never seen a $1,000 bill, but I don't even know if they exist. I just kind of made that up. But anyway, pennies and the biggest bills that you can imagine don't mean diddly to you, because we trust the Lord. And if it's there, fine. And if it's not there, fine. God's taking care of us. I'm eating. My bills are paid. I got a roof over my head. I'm in my health. My children, my husband, my wife's taken care of. We love and care about each other. We have a God that we can worship and is active and alive and taking care of us and looking out for us and keeping us safe and all this sort of business in this stupid, idiotic world that we're living in now that's waxing worse and worse. And we have the comfort and the peace of that. And you see the difference in that thing? You see the difference? The world don't think like that. The world's in darkness. So there we go. There's your introduction. 7-8 minutes worth of introduction. I don't know how we get into that, but anyway, the fear and fear of the Lord. What have we talked about? Well, we defined it for a good hour or so and went over a bunch of definitions of just trying to navigate through fear and fear of the Lord and what its definition is. And then when we started actually studying and getting into the scriptures, we grounded ourselves with fear. We started saying, well, what is fear? And we talked about the causes of fear, and we've seen illustrations in the scriptures concerning causes of fear. And then also we talked about the effects of fear, And after we finished that, we moved into the instances of fear, some instances of fear, like, for instance, Abraham and Isaac, remember that, and Jacob and the soldiers and Saul and the disciples and how they feared. And that fear is a real thing. It's a real thing. And the scriptures don't shy away or try to hide or cover up or anything having to do with fear. Fear is part of life. It's part of life. It's part of and as soon as we're born, even children learn about fear. I mean, they learn about fear when they're very young, don't they? So today we're going to go into another category, fear of the Lord. Our study is fear and fear of the Lord. We're going to talk about fear of the Lord. What is fear of the Lord? What does the Bible say about fear of the Lord? Well, first thing we're going to do is scripturally define the fear of the Lord. What does it mean? If you ask 100 people, what does fear of the Lord mean? You'd probably get some pretty interesting answers and maybe a variety of them, for that matter. Because there are a lot of things in scriptures that define fear of the Lord. For instance, first thing is it is to hate the things that God hates. The Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is to hate. Did you get that? I did not stutter one bit. Hate. Hate. You know why you bothered with that word? If you're bothered with that word and you just cringed when I said that, Do you know why you're bothered with that word? It's not because of the scriptures. It's not because of the Bible. The Bible didn't make you cringe because you heard the word hate. The Bible didn't make you cringe because hate has been brought up and as a subject. The Bible didn't make you cringe to try to hide the word hate and the subject of hate. Do you know what made you cringe? The world and its teaching concerning hate. The world's lying to you about hate. The Bible speaks plenty and plentifully about hate. And you have a God that has that part of his character is hating. Yep. You didn't know that? You knew that. Yes, you did. Fear of the Lord. The first thing that scripturally defines the fear of the Lord is to hate the things that God hates. We are instructed to do that. Where does it say that? In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. There it is. Verse 13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. There's five different things right there. And the Lord identified himself in the matter of hating these things. It tells us that the fear of the Lord is to, for us to, hate. If you say you fear the Lord, and you have the fear of the Lord in your life, and in your mind, and in your heart, then you have hate in your heart, and in your mind. Oh, yes, you do. Don't shy away from that. Don't be ashamed of that. Why would you be ashamed of hating the things that God hates? He tells us to. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth. We are to hate them five things. You hate evil. You hate pride. You hate arrogancy. You hate the evil way. And you hate the froward mouth. Why? Because of the last three words in that scripture. Do I hate? God identified himself with hating those five things. Why would you be ashamed of doing that? Scripturally defining the fear of the Lord, the first thing is to hate the things that God hates. He said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and a froward mouth. Do I hate? Do I hate? If you want to be like God and you want to think like God, you have to think like what his word tells us he's like. And he says he hates things. And he identified them specifically in this verse. We are to hate these things. Why? Because God hates them. And he gives us permission to do that. If you want the fear of the Lord, and you say you properly fear the Lord, I mean, why would you argue with that? What other way is there to see that or to define that? There is no other way. Scripturally defining the fear of the Lord, the first thing is to hate the things that God hates. Moving along. All right, what else is it? The fear of the Lord provides one life and protection needed to escape from what would kill him and rather be victorious in the matter. Fearing God saves your life. It provides one life and protection needed to escape from the things that would kill you. And rather, you come out victorious if you have the fear of the Lord. And you're affiliated with the fear of the Lord. Well, where does it say that? Well, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26 and 27. The Bible says, and the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord teaches us about how to flourish in life and how to depart from the things that would snare us and kill us, from the snares of death. Did you get that? And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So, scripturally defining the fear of the Lord is that it provides one life and protection needed to escape from what would kill him. And rather, comes out victorious. Comes out victorious. What else? Well, Second Chronicles, we find some more on that definition definition of fear of the Lord. And Asa cried, it's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11 through 15. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians for Asa, before Asa, and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, and there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned unto Jerusalem. Asa fixing to go out and fight a big war. He's concerned about the people. He said, whether there's many or whether with them that have no power, help us, Lord. And the Lord answered his prayer and did help him and turned those people to flight and gave Asa and the army that was with him power to pursue them and overtake them and destroy them and take the spoils of the war. Why? For the fear of the Lord came upon them. Did you get that? It provides one life and protection needed to escape from what would kill him and rather be victorious. The fear of the Lord. That's the definition of the fear of the Lord. Well, what else? That's not all. Well, the fear of the Lord, it is not and does not yield to uncleanness. A definition of scripturally defining the fear of the Lord, one of the definitions is that the fear of the Lord is not and does not yield to uncleanness. This is putting the fear of the Lord in some context for us, isn't it? And how we can know whether or not we have the fear of the Lord in our lives and in our minds and in our hearts. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 9. Listen to this. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So, scripturally defining the fear of the Lord, if there's filthiness involved and ungodliness and uncleanness in the matter, It's not the fear of the Lord. It's not the fear of the Lord. There's a lot of preachers and teachers and so-called Christians and educators and things like that in this world today that claim that they have the fear of the Lord upon them. But some of them exemplify some of the most unclean things and nastiness and filthiness that you could put beside the world and couldn't tell the difference. The Bible says that scripturally defining the fear of the Lord is that it is not and does not yield to uncleanness. The fear of the Lord is clean. Is clean. Moving along. What else? Scripturally defining the fear of the Lord. Well, it is where one begins to enter into knowledge and wisdom. There's a whole bunch of people putting PAs and MAs and BAs and THAs and more applesauce and this one of my mentors, he's got all the doctorates and all that kind of stuff and all the colleges he went to, and he says he keeps all of his, a couple of my mentors, they told me that they keep all their certificates and all their diplomas and all their this and their BAs and TH theology and bigger than a doctorate. What's that? I can't think of it. But anyway, all them sort of theological titles or educational titles and things for achievements and stuff like that. Said they keep them in their sock drawer. Because when you really start finding out what education and knowledge really is according to the scriptures, it'll make you put away all the worldly, braggadocious paperwork that you think that makes you somebody. It made my mentors put them in their sock drawer because that's all they thought of them. You know, what is this? This don't mean diddly. Why? Well, because the fear of the Lord is where one begins to enter into knowledge and wisdom. Not the classroom, not the college, not the scientific laboratories, not the this, not the that. The fear of the Lord. If there's no fear of the Lord, then the knowledge and the wisdom is fakety, fakety, fake, 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 and meaningless. If the fear of the Lord doesn't start out the knowledge and the wisdom. If somebody does not enter into the knowledge that they have and the wisdom that they think they have, and it wasn't entered into and began with the fear of the Lord, then it's not validated. As far as the scriptures are concerned, listen to what the scripture says. Don't take my word for it. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You think you know something? Did it start with the fear of the Lord? It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that's not all. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So you're telling me that all these God-hating idiots out there and these blasphemers and all these people that are supposed to have all these big education achievements and all this wisdom and all this, that, and the other that hate God and despise the fear of the Lord, that they're somebody and they really have the true wisdom and the true knowledge? Not according to the scriptures. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. And it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So if you're a God-hating idiot and you hate holiness, then your knowledge is vain and vanity and trash. Yeah, according to the scriptures now, and I happen to believe them and agree with them. What else? Well, Job chapter 28, Job, I mean, if anybody knew anything about the fear of the Lord and said something about it, Job would qualify, wouldn't he? Job 28:28 says, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." We're scripturally defining the fear of the Lord. And the definition is, it is where one begins to enter into knowledge and wisdom. Do you notice that? Every one of these scriptures that we've read, well, almost two-thirds of them so far, have said the fear of the Lord is the beginning. The beginning. In other words, if you want wisdom, you want knowledge, you want to know what holiness is and understanding, and you want all these things, and you want to know how to depart from evil, it has to start out with the fear of the Lord. Remember what we're talking about. Our study is about fear and the fear of the Lord. And we're talking specifically about fear of the Lord. What is it? Scripturally defined. It is where one begins to enter into knowledge and wisdom. If a soul does not have or want or desire or welcome the fear of the Lord in their being and in their life, then their knowledge and their wisdom is meaningless. And as far as the scripture is concerned, it's not even knowledge and it's not even wisdom. It's whatever you want to define it in the world, whatever you want to call it. They're changing things over and changing definitions so much nowadays, there might be a different pronoun for that now, huh? What about Psalm chapter 111, verse 10? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want wisdom, brothers and sisters? You have to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord. We're talking about defining it. Let's figure out what this fear of the Lord is that the scriptures are talking about. Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If somebody says that they have wisdom and they're wise and they don't fear God, what's that make them? According to the Bible, a liar. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Beginning of it. I mean, you're not even matured in wisdom. If you just want to begin to be wise, you have to fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. So a scriptural definition of the fear of the Lord, or fear of the Lord, is where one begins. It's where one begins to enter into knowledge and wisdom. If you want knowledge and wisdom, you have to go through the doorway of fear of the Lord. There's one more. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. The Bible says, the fear... I remind you, the Bible says. Okay? That's what we're studying. And you wouldn't be here if you didn't want to know what the Scripture says. And we're defining, scripturally defining, the fear of the Lord. Keep that in mind. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. In other words, if you want wisdom, you have to have an instructor. And if you don't have fear of the Lord, you don't have an instructor to teach you wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. So the fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. So knowledge and wisdom, can you get it without the fear of the Lord? No, you cannot. You can get something you might name knowledge and something that you might name wisdom, but according to the Scriptures, it's not knowledge and it's not wisdom if it doesn't begin with the fear of the Lord. That's scripturally defined by the Word of God. By the Word of God. So what have we talked about so far? We're scripturally defining the fear of the Lord. Is to hate the things that God hates? Is that the fear of the Lord provides one life and protection needed to escape from what would kill him and rather be victorious over things? And the fear of the Lord is not and does not yield to uncleanness. And the fear of the Lord is where one begins to enter into knowledge and wisdom. What else? Well, the fear of the Lord, it helps one to avoid bad consequences. If you fear God, it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble and keep you out of a lot of bad situations and consequences. Maybe not bad situations, but the consequences can be avoided. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 7. Let's read it. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. You remember that scenario? They're trying to get people to come out, and all of them could be together and meet. And this is in 1 Samuel chapter 11 there. And it helps one to avoid bad consequences. In other words, either do this or this is going to happen. And if you fear God, you'll choose to do whatever is necessary, do what is required of you. The people would not come out. They stayed at home. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel. This is when they're trying to get people to help them out so they could fight. And come not after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. In other words, you're going to get this if you don't come help us out. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people. And how did it help them? It helped them to avoid bad consequences. And they came out with one consent. The fear of the Lord fell upon them, and it caused them to make choices that helped them avoid bad consequences. There's a lot of times that God the Holy Ghost and the Lord teaches us and warns us and gives us warning by fearing Him, and this is one of them, by studying His Word. When we study God's Word, the fear of the Lord grows in us. It causes us to fear God and causes us to make decisions that are wise decisions that'll help us to avoid bad consequences. Hadn't God's Word, knowing God's Word, saved you out of some things that could have taken place before? Sure they have. Sure it has. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. It helps one to avoid bad consequences. What else? Well, the fear of the Lord a scriptural definition of the fear of the Lord is that it causes one's enemies to respect one and leave one alone. Have you ever had that happen to you? Where people messing with you and messing with you and messing with you and messing with you, but you continue to fear God and you fear the Lord, and in the end, or the Lord turns that thing to where it causes your enemies to rather doing what and mocking you and doing those sorts of things, it causes them to respect you and leave you alone. Have you ever had that happen to you? You will, if you fear God, and you have the fear of the Lord in your life, and in your mind, and in your heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, "And they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah, and taught the people," kind of like what we're doing right now, "and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat." Do you know what stopped all these other people from, these other kingdoms from coming in and messing with Jehoshaphat and the people that were under him? Was because they took God's word and they went out through all the cities of Judah and just taught the word of God to them. And by that taking place, everybody that was outside of those people that were getting, that were studying God's word and hearing the law, the book of the law, they begin to fear the Lord. They begin to fear Jehoshaphat and fear those people. All the kingdoms of the land that were around about Judah, it says, "And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat." You know one reason America ain't never been messed with before, except until recently, and that it's turned into a mockery now? Because they kicked the Bible out. They kicked God out. They said, let's don't go from city to city and teach the Bible anymore. And you know one thing that kept, people just feared America. The Orientals feared America. The Russians feared America. They stayed away. Why? Because they knew how strong and muscular and everything and blah, blah, blah. No. They knew we studied the book. They knew we had the Word of God here. And that we had a God that we cared enough and feared enough that we studied His words and what His words said and put them into practice. And that scared the dickens out of everybody. And they didn't want to mess with somebody that studied God's words. But now that America has stopped studying God's words and put perverts and transvestites and trans this and trans that and all your dressed up men in tutus with hairy legs in front of your children and all this sort of nasty, filthy nonsense going on throughout the cities of America, guess what? All the countries of the world are spitting and mocking and laughing and making a mockery of this land. And they should. And they should, because it is a mockery. And it is shameful. It is. But fear of the Lord, scripturally defining it, and that's what makes what we're doing right this very second, brothers and sisters, is what all of the people of America ought to be doing. Studying God's word. And if could you imagine if everybody in America were doing what we were doing right now and studying God's word and fearing Him and studying about fear of the Lord and everything else? Can you imagine? It'd change everything, wouldn't it? It would change everything. And do you know what it'd do to the people outside of this country? You're not going to scare anybody with military strength and with this and that and the other, and whether it's Republican or whether it's Democrat or whether it's left or right or conservative or liberal or this. Who cares? Who cares? Do you have a God that's powerful enough that the people read His words and respect Him and fear Him and honor Him in the land? If that's the case, we're not going in and messing with them. But America don't have any gods. Not that have any kind of power or respect about them. As a matter of fact, they're kind of funny and despicable. Yeah, make you want to vomit. So that's what the people of the other lands and the other kingdoms think. But not in this case. In Jehoshaphat's case, he sent preachers and teachers out saying, teach the people the word of God. Yeah. So, sorry for that little pause right there. The electricity actually just went out here. Everything went black. And I happen to have what I'm recording here running off another battery. So, praise the Lord for that. He didn't knock that out. But the devil did knock everything else out. And it's over with. So, I'm going to have to stop right there. So, that's where we're going to stop today's study, brothers and sisters, is right there. The electricity's gone out. And I'm sure the enemy had something to do with it because that's what he does. And we're talking about the fear of the Lord, and we're talking about a people serving God and the kingdoms of the land respecting and honoring the Lord with and His power and His might and the people being taught. And that's what we're doing right now. And we was just talking about all of that mess, and bam, everything went black. Isn't that something? I can't even give you the music going out. You're probably glad of that. You want me to sing to you? Better not. So, anyway, we're going to stop this study right here on fear and fear of the Lord and scripturally defining the fear of the Lord. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. We're going to stop right there, and we'll pick up on our next one. And I love you with Christ's love, and I'll just say goodbye for now, okay? You have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.